سلام 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 سلام
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum. Thank you again for joining us for another episode of The Deen Show. This week, I don't have a guest for you. So I had to think about, what are we going to do? What are we going to bring you this week? And I came up with something good. We're going to take you way back from the beginning, when we started, from some of the original Deen Shows, some of the original guests from the beginning. And we're going to do what's called a flashback. We're going to take you back in time, if that's possible. But before that, I just want to spend a minute thanking everybody. First of all, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praise and thanks is to Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, who has given us this ability to be with you, brothers and sisters from all around the world. And it's also known that if you don't thank the people, if you're not thankful to the people, you're not thankful to Allah. So I'd like to thank everybody, all the brothers and sisters who have been contributing, who have been supporting the show. Continue on. We've been able to bring some of these learned people on the show. We've been able to interview different people who have accepted Islam. They've been able to share their stories. Many people have accepted Islam, alhamdulillah, because they've seen that this is something natural. It's the natural way to believe in the Creator, the one who has created all this, to worship Him alone. Not a man, a monkey, an elephant. You heard me say it a lot if you've been with us since day one. You worship the Creator. You give Him that right because that right belongs to Him. And you believe in all His messengers and what comes along with that and His last and final messenger, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Islam is the natural way, and people have seen that. They've seen Americans, Irish, Latinos, people from all around the world accept this beautiful way of life. And even at the end, if you chose not to accept the way of life that all of God's messengers brought, submission and surrender to the one God, at least by now you have a better understanding. Now, we're going to take you way back to the flashbacks, continue. Tune in every week. Inshallah, God willing, we're going to continue on with this journey of educating the people. I apologize if I'm not able to get back to everybody. It kind of gets overwhelming at time. You know, I didn't think that this thing would go so far. Alhamdulillah, we are being not only viewed here in Chicago on the TV, but all over the globe. And this is very exciting that you guys are supporting. If you have an email and you send it to people, attach our website to it. If you have a blog, put some of our videos on it. If you have a website, add us on it. And this is how we're going to spread the word. We've done some of the major work here. You can contribute by making dua for us, helping spread and getting this message out so that, inshallah, people can understand us. They can understand this beautiful way of life. They can understand the Muslims. And now this fear that many people have, due to the media, due to a lot of haters out there, and the biggest hater, Shaitan, he's working day and night. We can clear some of these false misconceptions, and the people can sit down and have some lunch with us. Sit down with Tommy Biryani and hang out with the brothers and just see that, man, these people ain't trying to build bombs. These people are trying to build a brotherhood, a friendship. They're calling us to something simple. They're calling us to worship the Creator, not His creation. They're calling us to good old, wholesome goodness. I want to kick it with these Muslims. Because you know what? I don't have peace in my life. I haven't figured out what the purpose of life is. Let me hear what the Muslims have to say. They're claiming that they got the truth. And it's something that fits. It's not something that's bizarre. It's not something that's way out there. It's not something complicated. Worship one God. Submit to Him alone. Do the good deeds that He's invited you to do. And you know what? He's got a beautiful thing for you then. Paradise. Paradise. It's very simple. Now, with that said, I'm going to take you over to the episode of this week. We didn't have a guest for you, but we do have something special that I've lined up. We're going to go way back into the beginning. And I hope you enjoy this week's episode. Like I said, make dua for us and all the sheikhs that have been on here. All the learned people, make dua for them and all the brothers and sisters out there and all the non-Muslims that are tuning in. Continue to watch the shows And inshallah, ask Almighty God to guide you, to make it easy for you, and the truth shall be made clear. Inshallah, thank you. We'll see you. Hope you enjoy this week's show. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.
I testify, I bear witness
that there is no deity,
worthy of worship,
except Almighty Allah.
I bear witness
that Muhammad,
is his messenger,
and the seal of all the prophets.
That he's a slave, servant, and messenger
of Almighty Allah.
He's the seal of the prophet.
This make you open the door and this get into the house.
Okay, so
it's now you become Muslim when you say this.
I like to compare it to like if you lost your mother, your father, and you finally someone's described them. You say, "That's my mother. That's my father." When you get the correct concept of your Creator, that's my Creator. Yes. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't rest. Yes. He has no deficiencies. Yes.
And he has put together some shows, videos, reminding you just what you forgot. And let's bring him on out. Talk to him. Baba,
our guide is the Quran, our religion is Islam. Five noble scholars upholding what is virtuous.
Alhamdulillah, all praises to God.
Not being in touch.
How about someone now telling you that, look, you don't got someone who's paying the fine for you, the ticket, the ultimate sacrifice. Now what happens?
Right.
Jesus died for your sins.
Right. How could God punish people for something they didn't do? A little baby is not born responsible for what Adam did.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. Yeah. I mean, if the government tried to punish a baby for something their father did, we would say that's unjust.
Yeah.
But yet we accuse God of doing that?
No.
I mean, that to me, that doesn't make sense. So the Islamic idea is Jesus was a prophet and example for us. He can die for our sins.
Yeah.
We're responsible for our own sins. Now, like we said, because we're such sinners, which we are, we try to do better, but we try to do better in order to earn God's mercy and God's forgiveness.
Now, we know that it's more about living Islam. When people see you living Islam, living how the Prophet, peace be upon him, lived with his good character, inviting people to righteousness and to all that is good, and they see this and they come to you now and they ask you, you know, explain to me why I should accept Islam. Explain to me, you know, what's so unique about Islam. And how do I know this is the truth? How would you sum this up in a simplistic way?
Really, I don't have one simple line, to be quite honest. I really think at the end of the day, it is about one. I have found, as many others who have embraced Islam obviously have found, that there is a very sincere, genuine way of connecting to a higher power through Islam that is not pretentious, that is not about being holier than thou, but is about really the individual connecting to the divine, and through that connecting to the rest of humanity. That is really beautiful when one gets to understand it in from a perspective that looks at the totality of our tradition. But oftentimes we don't get that, partly because what we are often presented about Islam is in the context of all this post 9/11 craziness, and sometimes the Muslims themselves have to take responsibility for the way we present Islam through our actions and the way we talk about Islam that may not always present the most beautiful light of it. But I think the most simple answer that I can give to anyone is I really do believe the verse that, you know, is talked about, that God is beautiful and loves beauty. And I believe that Islam is beautiful when engaged as a holistic tradition.
Until I met certain friends, you know, for example, Eddie, who kind of opened things up and made things make a lot more sense to me with Islam and the Quran. And probably one of the main things that really changed my perspective on it was, for example, I was with some friends one day, and one of the girls was asking about the Bible, and another friend would say, well, which Bible do you study? Because I study this Bible, or I read this Bible. So that kind of brought up a question to me right away, about, well, I don't understand, how can there be so many different Bibles out there? I mean, there has to be something different that you follow, and it didn't quite make too much sense at all to me. So with Islam, everybody studies the Quran, and it's been preserved, and everything just seems to kind of flow in together a lot more, make a lot more sense. So,
and they will come on every lean camel and out of every ravine for the purpose of praising Allah.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Welcome to the Deen Show to tell us, what does a Muslim believe? What is Islam to you now? What is it?
Well, what Muslims believe and what I believe is how I became Muslim is simply the first and most important thing is that there's one creator. And any kind of worship or praise would be to this one creator. In addition to that creator, you believe in the angels, the existence of the angels, then the prophets that God has sent to us from the beginning of time till now.
Name some of those prophets.
Adam, Ishmael, Abraham, Noah, Lot, Jesus,
John the Baptist. So how do you say his name in Arabic?
Yahya.
Yeah.
Yunus, it was Jonah, and the last one, which we believe is Prophet Muhammad. So peace and blessings be upon him. They all came with that way
of submitting to the will of God, which is in Arabic
message,
Islam.
Same message.
It's consistent.
Same message.
It makes sense now.
Same message.
Yeah, they didn't come with all these different religions. Okay, and they all roads lead to Rome. No, it's not that. It's one way. Is submission to the will of the Creator,
yes.
Worshipping Him on His terms, not yours.
Right.
Is that correct? That's what you believe in?
Yes.
Okay.
Special guest, a good friend of mine, good brother. I'm going to let him talk about himself. We're going to bring him on. He's going to introduce himself. We got a real great show for you with our special guest on the Deen Show.
Then I remembered that there's a verse in the Bible that actually says a prayer from Jesus telling his companions, pray like this, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You're saying that to God. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And come to find out, this is what the word Islam actually means. Do what God wants you to do on his terms, in peace, surrender, submission. Aslama. The word aslama is the root, and that's what it means.
That's the literal translation of Islam, what it means.
As far as you can take it to English.
So, yeah. Just to recap, submission, surrender, sincerely.
Obedience
to
peace.
The Creator, peace, to the Creator of the heavens and earth.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're getting this new information. Before that, what did you know about Islam?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Tell us, the viewers, because you see, nowadays, Islam, there's a stigma attached to it. So now, someone as bright as yourself, who's a doctor, who is an intellectual, for someone who is afraid of Islam, who doesn't understand Islam, you want to know, why would this man choose Islam as his way of life?
Oh, well, I was an atheist before becoming a Muslim.
You didn't believe in God?
I didn't believe in God. And why would God do that? Why would he let innocent people suffer at the hands of more violent criminal people? Why wouldn't a perfect God create a more perfect world? Where does evil come from? If everything comes from God, then evil comes from God. And so forth and so on. So, you know, these questions grew, and as they grew and became bigger in my life, and they were big to begin with, you know, I moved away from the church.
Okay,
moved
so
away from belief in God. And then I come to the 30th verse of the second surah or chapter. And it says, behold, your Lord said to the angels. So it's a heavenly announcement. I'm about to put a vicegerent on her. The Arabic word was khalifa. About to put a vicegerent of mine, a viceroy, one who acts in behalf of another or represents another.
Yeah.
So it's a heavenly election. I'm about to put a viceroy on her. And then the angels said, will you put therein one who will spread corruption and shed much blood?
Oh, this is now one of the answers to some of your questions.
This is my question.
That's your question.
Well,
the same thing the angels are asking.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we, the angels, celebrate your praises and glorify you. Well, I was definitely hooked. I wanted to see how the author answered that question. So I continued reading through the Quran, looking for clues and answers. And I know this interview can't be that long, but by the time I got to the end of the Quran, I had found what, for me, were compelling and coherent answers.
Now, you're at the table. Your father got one version of the Bible. The Catholic priest has one version, your father has one version, your wife has one, and you got one version. You got like four
different... None of them are alike.
None of them are alike. What happens next?
We basically got an argument with each other over
What's he doing? What's the Muslim doing?
He's just sitting there smiling. So finally, you know, we just said, okay, let's give up on this. And I turned to him in almost defensively, and I said, well, how many versions of your Quran do you have? He said, well, actually, there aren't any. There's just one. It's in Arabic. It still exists exactly as it was.
Yes, indeed.
Because
you got your desires run wild. You get heat. You're full of this heat and this passion. You get a chance to get in some real trouble.
You live in the 21st century.
Yeah.
And when you go around walking in America, walking in the West in general, you would see that, again, it's all about body culture. Even right now, and almost everywhere in the world.
Body culture.
Body culture. It's all, wherever you go, it's all about men getting in shape, muscles, whatever actually they try to do.
Flexing, how I look. What do you got to say to the parents who are restricting? Say the youth now, he's got this urge. And he wants to get married. He fears his creator because he knows if I fall into the fornication, I'll get some big trouble, right?
True.
That's one of the is that one of the major sins?
Absolutely.
Major sins.
Major sins. Okay. One of the major sins.
But they'll connect, because when you hear the recitation of the Quran, it penetrates the heart. Because these are the words of your creator, right?
Yes, of course, indeed.
And then we'll try to give you, inshallah, God willing, the translation.
In this case, really, you should try, as a Muslim, you know, in your school, to ask the principal, ask the teacher, can I get 5 minutes off to pray Dhuhr? And I don't think there should be a problem. Where there's a will, there's a way. If you can get time off to go to the bathroom for lunch, for this or that, surely they'll give you 5 minutes for your Dhuhr prayer. So really, I think that if this is going to be a habitual thing, such as a Dhuhr prayer of the year, I don't see any excuse to try to combine or to do anything like this. Rather, either pray it at home before Asr, or if it's going to be conflicting the prayer timings, then make sure you find a place and a locality. For example, people at work, generally when you're working, you go beyond Asr prayer. Therefore, find a place where you can pray, and in North America at least, you're constitutionally guaranteed the right to be able to pray no matter what your job is. You can take a few minutes off to go and pray and then come back.
Okay, real quick, live demonstration. We don't got a PowerPoint. You're just going to tell me, look.
This is the hijab with a beard.
Is this hijab acceptable?
No, this is not the acceptable hijab. Firstly, because he's got a beard, so the hijab with the beard doesn't make sense. But
so
if
the
you
hair,
were a sister.
So for the sisters wearing the hijab, we love you.
So it's, we know it's very difficult, because you, a lot of times growing up, you learn what's right and wrong from your parents. So now you're stuck at that border that you're finding solace in Islam. You're finding comfort, and it's changing your life. It's having an impact. Your iman's starting to grow obedient. But she has that mother, you know. She rather support her to go to a cafe where there's alcohol and mingling with boys. And she rather support her in these actions rather than... And then when someone tries to invite her to go to the masjid, now she wants to go, but what she's scared what her mom's going to say.
Right. Well, this is, again, for that particular Amina, right? She needs to first know that this is the nature of the path that she chooses to be on. This is the ways where prophets and pious people and righteous people, they walked on the same path. She would feel lonely and strange, but when she remembers that this is the same path where the prophets and the righteous people had walked on, it would give her more comfort. So knowing this is very, very important, and increasing the iman and as the things as we mentioned before, and at the same time to be kind to the parents, and knowing that we are in a test. This is not Jannah, this is not paradise. We are being tested in this life, and soon all the matter will be all over, and a person will be judged in the Day of Judgment according to their patience and struggling and striving for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
I would advise the brothers and the sisters to be gentle in their approach to hijab. Hijab is not the biggest issue. If a sister isn't praying 5 times a day,
that's a bigger issue.
That's a bigger issue. That's a much bigger issue. Also, if the sister is dressing very immodestly, then try to start her to dress a little bit more modestly.
Step by step.
Step by step, yeah. And so if a sister is just wearing a skirt and tight shirts, if a person says, you know, let's just start with loose skirt all the way ankle level and a loose shirt, that's better than what she's doing, isn't it? Let's not be like, expect her to go from 0 to 110 seconds.
No,
you know?
It doesn't happen.
It's not going to happen. So let her start gradually. I'm not saying it's permissible just to wear a skirt and a loose shirt, but I'm saying it is better than wearing a mini skirt and a tight shirt, yeah. Right? So let's be gradual here. And if the sister's in themselves want to gradually develop their hijab. They'll say, okay, for 1 month, I'm going to just dress in, you know, cover my entire arms and entire legs, not the headscarf. Let me just try to get used to that. When that 1 month is over, then I'm going to move on to just a loose headscarf, and then I'll move on to a perfect one. Let her be gradual as well, and let us be supportive and encouraging rather than being strict and harsh upon her. Because really and truly, I have to admit, I admire every single sister that has the courage to wear the hijab in a society where people will look and stare.
Bigger reward too.
She has more guts than the majority of Muslim brothers do, because the Muslim brothers are dressing, you know, like GQ. They're looking real cool. They're taking the latest fashions and jeans and everything, and you know they couldn't care less. It's the sisters who are showing us the courage and iman of Islam. So let's never forget that, brothers. Don't be so critical of the sisters when you yourselves aren't living up to the ideals of Islam. So I say, really and truly, you know, the sisters who are wearing the hijab, mashallah, I mean, they are a source of inspiration to all of us.
We love them all.
We love them all.
Quickly, give us a glimpse how you came to Islam.
I came to Islam back in 1998 after an in-depth search of the Bible. I was trying to become a Bible scholar. I really wanted to use the Bible since it was to a Christian the way to live your life. So I wanted to know more about this book. I wanted to know everything about it. So as I searched more, I began to realize that there was some things wrong with it, that it was not the true word of God as most people claim. So I began an in-depth search that if this is not, then where does the true word of God lie? What is the true way of life that God wants me to live? So I searched almost every religion that you can think of that is known on the face of the planet until I finally, you know, by the grace of God, came in contact with Islam. And when I came in contact with Islam and read the Quran, the holy book that is revered by Muslims, that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, then I saw that the true gospel message of Jesus Christ and this Quran were one and the same. They were one and the same. Islam and what the Bible really said at its original state were one and the same. So this is how short story, you know, a long story made very short, this is how I accepted Islam.
Said, I bear witness there's only one God, none other to worship. And I bear witness that Muhammad's his last messenger.
That's quite simple.
I was shocked. I said, how could it be that a Catholic priest has now become a Muslim?
That's all he had to do is say that.
He said that, and as such, he becomes a Muslim. But
you know
what
happens
in the church?
He didn't have to get dipped in a pool or anything? And we're going to talk about his story, which probably all of you are eager to hear, why someone would accept Islam. So get ready to meet Ronaldo here on the Deen Show. Assalamu alaykum, brother.
Assalamu wa rahmatullah.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. Praise be to Allah in every condition.
He said a bunch of Arabic, which maybe if you tuning in for the first time, you said, man, do I need to take an Arabic class? So he said, I wished peace upon him. He wished it back upon me. And he thanked the creator of the heavens and earth.
That's right.
See, there, you don't want to take the Arabic class yet. So
submits to him, that he surrenders to him, and that everything God Almighty loves, that you do. Everything that he hates, you stay away from. So just to give you an example now. That he loves, that you worship him alone, that you don't set up partners with him. This is an unforgivable sin. If you call upon anyone other than him, if you call upon Jesus, if you call upon Muhammad, if you call upon anyone else other than God, no intermediaries. You don't go to a confession box. You don't go to the Father and he gives you about 10 Hail Marys. No. The only one that can forgive sins is the Creator of the heavens and earth. Direct connection. Two is that you establish the prayer for his remembrance at their fixed times, that you pay the charity, that you fast.
Any intelligent person who sees that this life is just transitory, okay, it's passing, the days are going by, you're getting older, you're getting gray hairs, you know, you go by the graveyards and you see that, you know what, the tombstones, they got 16, 17, 2-year-olds, people, death can come at any time. So when you see this beautiful description of paradise, you know what, I wouldn't barter, you know, paradise for this life. It's just like, you know,
absolutely, yes.
It's like a fake watch for a Rolex, you know, it doesn't work. Yes. So tell us, how do we guarantee a place in paradise for us? What do we need to do?
First, I want you, I advise you and advise whoever listen to this. I want you to ask yourself one thing. What really this life means to you? How much and how many years you will live? What you really offer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah give you a life, give you health, give you everything. How long you will live? How much enjoyment will you have in this life?
This narration reminds us that everything we love in this life will eventually be gone.
and we will be accountable for our actions in this life. Nobody's dying or paying the price for our sins. You'll be responsible for yourself as I will be responsible for myself.
Why can't, if you say, why are you limiting God? Why cannot God be a man? Out of his love, he turned into a man and came to show you how to live.
Okay. So that's the same thing, you understand, that he telling me, the policeman, he want to humble himself and be, understand, so submissive. So he go to the robbers and the junkie and the drug users and all the things. And he stands there, he throw his gun away and say, hey guys, I'm here, beat me up. Come on, man. Come on. We have to start really to be real.
And as you can see, when God Almighty is speaking, he's telling you, look, do you think I made this all in play? It's a joke. Just have a good time. Don't worry about it. Just kick it. And then, you know, when you die, it's nothing going to be, you're not going to be accountable. No, no, no. You're going to be accountable. So it's not all in play. It's not to live Friday to Friday, kick it from one party to the next, no responsibilities. You give to your boss, you give to everybody, but you don't give to the Creator. No, it doesn't work like that. You're going to be brought back and you're going to be judged. So we need to take this life seriously and do what? Do as the Creator of the heavens and the earth has told us to do. And now, like I said, if you're tuning in, you're there. It's been delivered to you. You can't turn away. It's like that subpoena. You just got hit with it.
But when I started studying the Bible, I wanted to know who wrote these books. You know, so I started researching the author. And when you go through the Old Testament, 80% of it, the author is unknown. It's speculated. They speculate who wrote it. Like in the book of Deuteronomy, they say Moses wrote it. Which doesn't make sense, because at the end it says Moses died. So did Moses like write his own obituary? You know, like all of these things did not make sense to me.
So the only way that God, you understand, to show me he is a God, by humiliating himself, disgracing himself? This is, it doesn't, what's this?
What about those who say, look, out of his love, he came, he turned into a man.
Okay.
Out of his love.
Okay. What, turn into a man? Turn to a man that you are going in deficiency. You are going in a lower level. We have to understand that God is almighty. There is thing, God can do anything, okay? Don't misunderstand me. God can do anything he wants. But God also, he told us that he's almighty. All right? So, like a man, but if I could not give you this example, because nowadays we have so-called gays, okay? But if you go to other countries where manhood is a privilege that God gave you and that you have the honor that a man. We don't have a man in Arabia, as example. He will go say, I'm going to show you how I humble myself, and he would dress like a woman. Because he knows he's a man, okay? He's supposed to be defending the women. Not for him to try to put himself in a position, okay, now I'm here, I became like a woman, dressing like a woman. So God Almighty able to do anything he wants, but at the same time there is something that doesn't fit with the majesty of God.
Now tell me this. The guy says, you know what? This is what my parents believe and their parents, and now what you're telling me is going against what I was brought up into. Let's call it a day and God will decide at the end. How about if someone says this now?
Well, he's right about that.
And he continues.
He's right about what he said, though, that in the end, God will be the final judge, yeah? And for me as a Muslim, I have to remember what Allah told us in the Quran, to tell them the straight message, to warn them that it's not our job to guide them.
Yes.
Now, our purpose of having the program right now today isn't that we think that we're going to guide anybody.
God guides who he wills.
That's true. And it's not like salesmanship or one-upmanship either. I mean, I love everybody. You're all my brothers and sisters in humanity.
Yeah.
But if you would like to know the truth, if you want to come to the realization of who is God, what is our purpose in life, why are we here, what is the whole meaning behind all of this, if this is your desire, then that's what we want to do and help.
So just to take you back on that, if they say, okay, look, well, you said God can do anything. Why can't he be a man then?
Okay, so you became a man. You have to go to the bathroom. You have to go to the doctor. And the doctor have to cut your stomach. And they understand you. So now you're suffering. Okay? God doesn't suffer. God doesn't sleep. God doesn't get sick. Doesn't have to go to the bathroom. Now you can see a degrading God. And instead you say, glory to God. You are degrading God and say, God, like, So if me and God are the same, so why do I have to even take care about something called God?
Tell us, for those that think Islam is a religion of terror, of violence, what do you have to say?
Watching too much TV.
Watching too much TV.
Yeah, really, because as I've already explained, Islam is the submission and surrender in peace to Almighty God. So how can you twist this around and say that this is talking about terrorism or hurting other innocent people? It's very clear in the Quran, whoever takes even one innocent life, it's like he killed all of humanity. Whoever saves a life, it's as though he saved all of humanity. There's no way to misconstrue this to say that Islam is a religion of terror. However, there are people who are doing things and saying this is Islam. And some of them aren't even Muslims. Some of the people are doing this and then they say, well, Muslims did this thing. And some of them are Muslim by name, but they're certainly not Muslim by action, are they?
Oh, you know, I tried to do that because I did not want to lose my faith in Christ. This is all I had. This is all I knew. This is the way of my forefathers. This is the way of my family. So I tried to go back into the Bible and shove my mentality into trying to find a way to make this stuff fit. Make it make sense. Let me make this thing make sense. You know, let me make this Trinity thing make sense, because the Trinity, after reading the Bible, it just started not making sense, because there's no verses in the Bible that speak of the Trinity. There's one that, if you study the Bible, was not original part of the Bible. It was put in, you know, later when the Bible was put together in Rome. So I'm saying to myself, out of all this, how do I fix this? Because Jesus is saying that, you know, the way to salvation. Someone came and asked him, how do I get eternal life? He said, follow the commandments. He said, okay, I've done that. He said, okay, then follow me. You know, sell everything you own and follow me. This was the way to salvation. Follow the commandments. Paul gets to the way of salvation. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, if this was the way to salvation, why did Jesus not tell us this?
So we're going to move on to the next question with Imam Faisal in the Dean Show studio. Tell us the good news now. The good news for all those running and doing good deeds. What's waiting for us?
وبشر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات أن لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار
لا إله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله لا إله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله لا إله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله
I believe that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is his messenger.